Greetings, I am Mother Elspeth. You see, I am familiar with the routine. I will describe my person, my body first, because then we think you will get the picture of the type of individual. I am round. We do not say fat. We say round. I am round, and I have the round cheeks, and the round nose, and the round eyes, and I wear my hair parted in the middle, and then with the two buns on the side of the head. Everything is round. You are understanding. So, of course, I am from, how will you say, the European branch of the family. And my family had already, we talk about the nomadics and the migrations and then the settles. So my family was a migratory family, and then we settled. And so, but we settled still in what is now Europe. We did not go over the seas. We stopped. And I became very round. It is very interesting that I continue to talk about this, I'm round, but it is important that you see this, because with this roundness, there is a sort of comeliness and a homeliness. And this is how my skill, shall we say, was nurturing. It was to bring people to my bosom, if you like, which of course was round. And it was to, when I saw people that were ailing or injured or in childbirth, for me this was not something that was a worry. For me it was as if they were being sent to my bosom. And my bosom was, when I say this, it is like they say, the Christians use this terminology, bringing the children to the bosom of God. It is like that. Interesting, is it not, that they use the word bosom? Because, of course, a woman has a bosom. But they say that God is a man. So that is very interesting, we are thinking, because, of course, God has no gender, no sex. There is no man, there is no woman. It is because, how can it be? Because, of course, he's a representation. I say he, because this is habit. God is a representation. Everybody. So there cannot be man or woman. So, back to the bosom. So for me, it was very much, this was how I healed. It was really, for me, this feeling that when they came to me and I clasped them, I did not physically always clasp them to my bosom, but it was like this feeling. So it was very much, I would feel my stomach and my chest would fill with love. And it was, I would burst. And I could not stop smiling. I could not be happy. Even when they were bleeding or vomiting or diarrhea, and some people were very ill. But even then, I could not stop smiling. And I was not smiling at them laughing. It was love. And this alone made them feel better. Because, of course, when somebody is filled with love and they're smiling at you and touching you and caring for you, you feel better. You feel like there is hope, because a lot of illness is about no hope. And even when they are injured, for example, maybe in the war, or they are hunting, or some such thing, or they fall off a tree, there is this feeling of hopelessness, because you are no longer in control of your body. You are no longer in control of your destiny, because you have the broken arm, or you have a stab wound in your stomach. So what is this now? What is my destiny? I thought yesterday I would live my life, have my children, and I would die when I was an old person with grandchildren. But now here I have this. I thought that I was going to be, let us say, a hunter. But now I have this broken arm. So now what is my destiny? You see, so, and then illness, of course, begins sometimes with hopelessness. You're feeling as if now that I am more educated because I have other mothers around me, the immune system. The immune system keeps the individual up and running, if you like. If you are sad, maybe somebody has died, husband, child, wife, etc. And so therefore you're having grief. And so everything becomes depressed. The immune system slows down, and it cannot bolster the body. So then you are more susceptible to the disease. But really, there was hopelessness there. You see, that is why this eventuality happened in the first place, with the immune system becoming not so active, because there was this hopelessness. So, when you are with somebody who is just feeling this immense love in their stomach and in their chest, and then they are smiling and loving you, then of course there is hope. This is the light. This is the ray of light that is being, it is like this lifeline. Look, there is hope. I have it, and I'm going to give it to you. You see? So this was for me. Even though we made drafts, tonics, you would maybe say now, and we made ointments, and we used leaves for poultices, sap from trees. Some sap is very good for some things. Sometimes we would use the sap, because some sap becomes very hard. We would use that if there was a cut, we would put it over the cut to clamp it together, or maybe we would close it and then put the sap over. Some sap becomes like rubbery. That is sometimes very good because, yes, especially in the fingers, because it allows movement, but it is still holding this. But some sap becomes like glass, you know, and so this is more not so good for joints or movement, but it is good for other areas where you want it to be absolutely still. And this can be like a, you would say now, Band-Aid. It is like that type of thing. So, yes, we still used all of this, but we would say, as you have been saying with the other mothers, my power was really this giving people hope. And I really felt it. I really felt it in my stomach as soon as I saw them. It was like the switch was turned on and the light began to shine, and I couldn't help but gather them to me. You understand? And so this is what I was. And of course, being very round, people wanted to come. They wanted to come to be clasped to the bosom. You understand? So this was me.